You weren't quite a teenager, were you?
No, I was 11.
You probably started masturbating though.
You calling me a wanker? Hush.
Well, that's the opening done. Right. Swing, bada 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 bada.
Swing, bada. And welcome to Darren and Matt's 80s Adventure.
My name is Matt.
And my name is Darren.
And this week we are looking at
Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Yeah, episode 79 of our podcast.
79.
Yeah.
Wow.
Flying by, baby. Yeah.
Yeah, but the thing is, we should look up every once in a while because, you know, blink and you'll miss it. That's sort of a paraphrase, isn't it?
Yeah, because life has a habit of passing you by.
Yeah.
Do you want to pull your mic a little bit closer?
Oh, yeah, I'll pull it closer, baby.
Maybe tilt it a little bit.
Oh, how's that?
I think that's better.
Better?
Yeah.
Better.
Swing. Better. There we go, then. Yes, we're going back to 1986. I can't remember the last time we were in 86.
Nope.
Oh,
no, no, no.
Well, there we go. But then I can't remember much at the moment because we've had a few. Beers.
Yeah, we decided to go back to the older format of having a few more drinks just before we started, and I think that might be before we do get properly started as well. I just want to say a big thanks to someone got in touch this week, Mrs. Snatch, who has been
fuck off. Who?
She's called Mrs. Snatch, right?
Is she really?
Well, no, I'm guessing it's a pseudonym, right?
Okay.
So she has been in touch this week and she has been binging our shows and loving it. So thank you very much, Mrs. Snatch.
Mrs. Snatch has been binging our shows. Well, hello, Mrs. Snatch. I hope it's not too sweaty where you are.
Anyway, have you had a good week, buddy?
Good week.
Mine has been okay.
It's been a-okay.
It's been a-okay. You know, I've consumed some media. You know,
well, as you do. Well, you ate some media. Yeah, you ate a copy of the News of the World.
Started something to do with Anne Rice's stuff. A couple of movies here and there. Yeah. What about yourself?
I've been back to work this week, which is nice. A few gigs. Not bad. They've been very quiet, but it's that time of year, isn't it?
We've had some outrageous gigs this week.
Some outrageous gigs?
Yeah, well, it's outrageous. I'm just saying that because I've been drinking. No, yeah, it's been fine. It's been fine. Really good gigs. Good fun. Good, yeah.
Nice.
Do you know what? I mean, this goes out in, first week of Feb, but January has been actually quite a good January. January's got potential to be a bit rubbish, isn't it?
It usually is. November and January, I think, are my worst months, for me personally, gig-wise, because they're just so bloody quiet.
Oh, I'm just talking about, I hate January.
Yeah.
Christmas is over, month. It's not quite spring yet, but...
It's not fucking Bowman overtime or rewind time, although... Mm-hmm. Talking of rewind.
Yes, we have had the lineup.
Woohoo! And it's a pretty damn good lineup this year.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So we've got a bit of Squeeze, a bit of Tony Hadler's, Erasure's.
Come on, don't forget Nick Kershaw.
Who?
What?
Say what now? And Nick Haywood. And Brother Beyond.
Go West on the Sunday.
Go West!
No.
No. Yeah, that's going to be very exciting.
Oh, it's going to be just a great weekend.
Yeah. And is Mrs. Snatch going to join us at Rewind?
Apparently so. And here's the thing. So this all ties in. You see, we don't just throw this together.
Well, okay, yeah.
So after watching Ferris Bueller, I'm looking at going in a Bueller outfit this year.
Bueller.
How many times is that going to happen tonight?
Quite a few, I imagine.
Brilliant.
Anyway, yes. Well, that's good. Let's fucking get back into it then. Have you got any facts for us from 1986?
No.
Okay, then. Let's have a look at the charts.
Of course I do. Of course I do. All right, here we are. Some facts about 1986. First of all, we'll go to the cinema charts. In the UK, at number 5 was The Money Pit.
Who's that?
Tom Hanks?
Yes, of course. Yeah, we've talked about that one before, haven't we?
We need to do that.
Yeah, it's on Don't Tut List.
I've never heard of this. Number 4, The Last Unicorn.
Nope. I don't think I have either.
Number 3, Biggles.
This is the UK chart?
Yep.
That rings a very slight bell, actually. Obviously, I know who Biggles is, the pilot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Number two, The Colour Purple.
Yeah. Have you ever seen that?
No, I haven't.
Oh, my God. It's phenomenal.
On the list?
Is it?
Well, it should be.
Yeah.
I have been all the time adding to the list.
Nice.
And number one in the UK charts that week was Police Academy 3, Back in Training.
One of my favourite sequels, actually.
Is it?
Yeah. I really like Police Academy 3.
It's, yeah, well, I've not watched it in a while, but right. I'm sure we'll get there because most of them were in the 80s.
Yes, yep.
In America, then, number five, Raw Deal.
Arnie?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Number four, a request we've had from Long Dog.
Yeah.
Cobra.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, well, that's definitely on the list.
It is definitely on the list. Number three, a little known film called Top Gun.
No, I think that would pass me by.
No, maybe. Number two, Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Never heard of it.
Oh, whatever. And number one, Beating Ferris Bueller, because both these films came out this week.
I've never heard of that one.
No,
Beating Ferris Bueller.
It's a sequel, Beating Ferris Bueller.
Came out the same week.
Number one's Back to School.
I'm going to take your word for that.
Mm.
Back to School?
Came out the same week as Ferris, but beat it in the charts.
I think we need to look into that.
I think we do.
Okay. Interesting.
Okay, then, some other facts from 1986. So, there is a runner-up in Miss USA.
Okay.
By the name of Halle Berry.
That Halle Berry?
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so she was a runner-up in Miss USA in 1986.
Yeah. There you go, I never knew that.
We also, I mean, I thought, let's look into some of the celebrities that were born that year, and it makes me feel really old.
Right.
So, Megan Fox.
Yep.
Yeah, Robert Pattinson. Yeah, Shia LaBeouf. That's just going to make you think of that video,
yeah,
exactly.
Isn't it? That video is fucking superb.
Shia LaBeouf. Jenna Coleman. Yep, so she was born in 1986, so the year Ferris Bueller came out.
That's fine.
Usain Bolt was born in 1986.
Okay. And also, but then, to be fair, I guess that makes him quite old for an athlete.
Mm-hmm.
Not being funny.
No, I mean, I think you pass your primes at a certain point, don't you?
Yeah, wow.
And finally, Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
1986.
Yeah. I thought she was older than me, to be honest.
No one's that old. then,
it hoits.
And then over here in the UK, Casualty started. Only if you're from the UK we understand what Darren's just been...
It's the Casualty theme tune.
Yes, I know.
Oh, okay, sorry.
So, yeah, I didn't realise it started that early.
Well, it did.
Well, yes, it did. And my final fact is we got our first Marvel movie. I mean, you're not a fan of the MCU or Marvel and things like that.
No,
but
or the BFG or the
no,
ICI.
Oh,
or the...
So our first Marvel movie, really, it was 1986's Howard the Duck.
Yeah. What a bag of shit that was.
Well, I mean, we haven't covered it yet. Have we?
No, we haven't.
No, we haven't. All right.
It's not on the list, though, is it?
But it also does contain one of the actors from here.
Does it?
Mm-hmm. So, the Dean from this film, from Ferris Bueller.
As in?
What's he called?
Jeffrey
Dean?
Jones.
Yes, Jeffrey Jones is also in Howard the Duck.
Is he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a line.
Whoa! Okay, right. Okay, let's actually move on to the chart.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off was released in the USA on the 11th of June 1986. And so this week, we are looking at the UK Top 10 for the 8th of June 1986. At number 10 this week, rising 9 places from last week's 19, it's Falco and Vienna Calling. Falling 3 places to number 9, it's Patti LaBelle and Michael McDonald and On My Own. And falling from number 5 to number 8, it's Tears for Fears and Everybody Wants to Run the World. Rising from number 9 to number 7, it's Jackie Graham and Set Me Free. And at number 6 this week, rising from last week's 11, it's The Real Thing and Can't Get By Without You, the second decade remix. Into the top 5, it's Robert Palmer and Addicted to Love. And it's a non-mover at number 4 for Peter Gabriel and Sledgehammer. Last week's number 10 is this week's number 3, it's New Shoes and I Can't Wait. It's a non-mover at number 2 for Simply Red and Holding Back the Years. And that means there's another non-mover at number 1. It's Doctor and the Medics and Spirit in the Sky. And that was the UK Top 10 for the week commencing the 8th of June, 1986.
I've never been so happy to hear a number one 30-odd years after the event.
I know.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, we love the Doc, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
He's awesome. But yeah, I mean, that is a pretty damn good top 10.
I mean, I imagine he'll still be singing that hit years and years and years later.
Yeah, absolutely. But he definitely is, yeah.
Also, explain to me, Everybody Wants to Run the World. Is that like, so is it a re-release?
Yes. From what I remember, I think Everybody Wants to Rule the World was released 2 or 3 years before.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think this was released for... I want to say it was something to do with the charity for Live Aid and Band-Aid, all that sort of thing. But I remember the T-shirts everywhere. It was basically just getting people out running and raising money for charity.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Exactly the same song, but just Everybody Wants to Run the World.
Is it a bit like Christmas Is All Around Us?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. But without the sexy ladies.
All right, then. What's just outside the charts then, bud?
Just outside the top 10.
What's outside the charts? I don't know. There's stuff that I can't find because it's not in the charts.
Because outside the charts. At 11, you've got Pet Shop Boys and Opportunities. Let's Make Lots of Money. At number 12, The Chicken Song from Spitting Image.
Oh, my God.
Hold a chicken in the air. At 13, Lessons in Love from Level 42.
Can I just quickly say?
Yeah.
I can't remember a lot of like algebra from school, but I can still remember the fucking chicken song lyrics.
That's because it was played at every school disco.
Well, then why don't they play an algebra song at every school disco? You know,
Is there an algebra song?
I've just solved it.
Name one.
Name one. Yeah, but maybe they should
fucking
write one.
Fucking name one.
They should write one. I've just solved our school crisis.
Do it then.
Right.
Fucking hell. I don't know what I'm going with this. Anyway, back to the charts. At 15, Invisible Touch, Genesis. At 16, Hunting High and Low from
Oh, what a tune.
21, You Were Too Good to Be Forgotten. Oh, what got to do.
I wish you could see, right? Darren, when he's singing these, he does this little dance with his elbows. It's brilliant.
It's a good dance. Oh, actually, I've missed one out. So, yeah, Amazulu was at 21 with Too Good to Be Forgotten. I've missed out at 20, 21st Century Boy from Sig Sig Sputnik.
Okay.
And that's relevant because...
Because...
It's a song that's featured in Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Oh, is that... Okay.
Yeah.
Whereabouts is that?
Right at the beginning when he says about, how can I go to school on a day like this?
Oh, yeah. That's a good song.
Yeah, great song. So, yes, moving on. Nasty from Janet Jackson at 22. Why Can't This Be Love from Van Halen at 23.
Tune.
Great song. 24, New Beginning, Mamba Sera from Bucks Fizz. 25, one of the greatest songs from the 80s, Owen Paul and My Favorite Waste of Time.
Oh, that's great. Wow. I'm going to use the elbows.
You're my favorite waste of time. Motherfucker. At 26, that's my remix. At 26, Venus from Bananarama.
Love them.
27, Billy Ocean, There'll Be Sad Songs to Make You Cry. 20, oh my God, this is the week for novelty tunes. 28, Snooker Loopy from the Matchroom Mob.
I remember that, yeah.
30, Happy Hour from the House Martins. The great House Martins. 33, Rolling Home from Status Quo. 34, Big Mouth Strikes Again from the Smiths. 36, Call of the Wild from Midjour. And at 40, Live to Tell from Madonna.
Oh, I love that song.
Yeah.
That's an underrated Madonna song.
42, Rock Me Amadeus from Falco.
Okay.
Because I wanted to mention it. But that's one hell of a chart.
It's a good chart.
It's good, isn't it?
1986. What a year to be alive.
Agreed.
All right then, so that is the charts. How about we head over for Darren's five-step challenge? So every week, Darren has a challenge to get from last week's film to this week's film in a certain amount of steps, 5, 4, 3, etc. So this week, Darren has 3 steps to get from last week's film, which was...
Best of the Best.
So this week's film, which is...
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Can it be done?
Let's find out. Okay, as Matt said, I've got 3 steps this week to get from Best of the Best to Ferris Bueller's Day Off. And as we know, James Earl Jones was one of the stars of Best of the Best. Not that there were many. And so that's where we start this
is the only thing I know.
Stop.
I'm good
I
at.
Will wet myself. So we start with James Earl Jones this week. Step one. James Earl Jones was in Alan Quatermain and the Lost Cities of Gold with Sharon Stone. Step two. Sharon Stone was in Police Academy 4, Citizens on Patrol, with Billy Bird. And step three, Billy Bird was in Max Duggan Returns with Matthew Broderick. And that's the three-step challenge.
Holy shit, Sharon Stone was in a Police Academy film.
Apparently so.
Wow.
Yeah. And Billy Bird, though. Do you remember Billy Bird?
Vaguely?
Yeah, she's been in lots of things. She was the old lady in Home Alone who got right dangly earrings.
I mean, I don't remember Billy Bird because I thought it was a bloke.
Oh. But you know when she's trying to get a ticket home and sell or trade with the old man,
the old lady. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Come on, let's do it.
Exactly. Got her own earrings, right dangly ones.
Yeah, that's it.
Another thing I did this week, which I was very proud of, it was all alliteration. Well, apart from the last one, getting back to Matthew Broderick, it was all alliteration. It was James Jones, Sharon Stone, and Billy Bird.
Oh, nice.
So a little pat on
the
back there. Don't you know? What?
Well, there we go. That was the five-step challenge.
Or three-step.
This week.
Yeah. So that's the three-step challenge. Initial reactions then.
Yeah.
Being an odd-numbered episode, you get to go first.
So we've talked about this film plenty because it is an 80s classic, isn't it?
Yep.
And I think I've always had kind of a tepid response to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I came in late, I didn't grow up with this, so therefore I didn't have that love.
Right.
So I've rewatched it. I've seen it a couple of times now over the last few days, and I've got a different reaction.
Oh, okay.
I absolutely grinned ear to ear while watching this.
Awesome.
So I went in expecting less because I think the last time I watched it, I was like, yeah, it's good. I mean, I've never hated it. I've always gone, yeah, it's good. But this time watching it, I don't know what it was. It sparked for me. And it suddenly clicked. And also, I don't know, maybe it's because we're 79, 80s films deep. Yeah, it was just so much better than I remember it or gave it credit for.
Nice.
And I was laughing out loud at points, you know, bap, bap, da, da, bap. If you know, you know.
You know, you know. Yeah.
And I mean, I couldn't fault it. I was having a great time with it. So I was excited to go back and do a rewatch of it because I was like, this is actually really great. So that is my initial reaction.
Ah, interesting. Okay. Well, my initial reaction again is sort of like yours. Going back in, I've completely changed my opinion of it.
Oh,
no, I haven't. I fucking loved it.
I think I had the Darren reaction to Breakfast Club because you always had a tepid response to Breakfast Club.
Yeah.
And then when rewatching it, you went, oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's great.
It's John Hughes, isn't it? It's there's something about him that, I don't know, for me, because I wasn't really a John Hughes person at the time. For some reason, his stuff just passed me by apart from this film. But I loved it. And I loved it then, and I love it now. Yeah, my initial reaction is it's fucking brilliant. It's funny. It's a lot more emotional than I remember. Maybe that's just my age now.
No, it's not. It's deeper.
But it wasn't there. It's so multi-layered.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually took me by surprise. But my initial reaction, before we go deeper into it, I fucking loved it.
Ditto.
That's another film. We can't do that one.
No, we can't do that one. But yeah. Great.
Nice.
So I think, this is the one we're on the same page. A bit,
yeah.
Bit unlike last week.
Were we not on the same page for that?
I think I may have enjoyed Best of the Best a little bit more than you did.
Mm.
Because it's the only thing that I know.
Right, on that note,
okay, let's take a break. Let's take a break.
We need a break. And we're back.
Boom, boom, boom. Part two of Darren and Matt's 80s Adventure, where we're looking at Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yes, at regular listeners to a podcast. Sorry, I've got a very drunk mouth.
Okay.
Regular listeners to the podcast will know that at this point in the podcast, Matt has a challenge to give us the synopsis of the film.
Yeah.
And he has as many seconds as the film has minutes. So, Mr. Matthew, how long was the film?
It was 1 hour and 43 minutes.
So you have 1 minute, 43 seconds to give us the synopsis. Are you ready?
Indeed I am.
Then let's have the jingle. And if you're still ready, go.
Ferris Bueller wants a day off, so he feigns illness and he calls his best friend Cameron, who is off already, and gets him to come over. They both spring Ferris's girlfriend from school by fooling the dean and picking her up in Cameron's dad's very, very, very expensive Ferrari. The dean is not convinced and heads out to track down Ferris, and also unconvinced is Ferris's sister Jeannie. Ferris and Co. head to downtown Chicago, where they leave the car at a garage, which is, unbeknownst to them, taken on a joyride, while the three of them scam their way to a restaurant, go up a really tall building, attend a baseball game, go to an art gallery, and take part in a parade that is going on. Meanwhile, while this is going on, Dean Rooney tries to catch out Ferris, as does Jeannie, and whilst indulging in a little light breaking and entering, Dean Rooney gets kicked in the face by Jeannie, who then runs upstairs and calls the police. Convinced that the perp is going to rob them and try to have sexy time with her, he says she has a scorching case of herpes. Rooney disappears after his car that is being towed. Ferris's mother picks up Jeannie while Ferris and friends head back for 6 p.m. They find out the car has been taken for a joyride, and while trying to fix that mistake, Cameron decides enough is enough and the car ends up totaled at the back of Cameron's garage. Ferris walks Sloane home and then races his sister and mother back, only to be greeted by Rooney. Fortunately, Jeannie has a change of heart and helps Ferris get back into his room in time for his parents to check on him. And as the credits roll, we see disheveled Rooney take a school bus back. Are you still here? Because the synopsis is over. Just go home.
I wonder what the hell you were doing then. Okay, well, there we go. A scorching case of herpes.
A scorching case of herpes.
Well, we've all been there. Yeah. Welcome to Plymouth. Yes, so just remind us, how long was the film?
It was 1:43.
So you have 1 minute 43 seconds. You did it in, drum roll, 1 minute 34.
Ooh, nice.
We are going to have to pay royalties in a minute. Well, there we go. 9 seconds under. I shall drink because I really need more drink.
Yes, I'm joining you in that. So whilst you're drinking, would you like to hear some alternate castings?
Nah.
No? Okay, right then. Let's move on. To...
Go on then.
All right. So there's a lot of alternate castings for this. So poor Eric Stoltz auditioned for Ferris. Also, Rob Lowe, John Cusack, Jim Carrey, Johnny Depp, Tom Cruise, Robert Downey Jr. and Michael J. Fox were all considered for Ferris.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those I can see.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, J. Fox, because I love him, but...
Yeah.
I mean, Jim Carrey seemed to go up for everything in the 80s and not get anything.
Yeah, it just wouldn't have been believable for me. Everything I've seen of him, he's just too manic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe Rob Lowe.
Maybe. I can't see anyone else in the role.
I think that's the problem. He is perfect, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
So this is one that I found really bizarre. John Candy auditioned for Cameron.
Really?
Yeah.
It would have been way too old.
That's what the producer said, so that's why he didn't get it. But,
wow.
But saying that, I mean, Cameron was 29. Not the character, but the actor.
Yeah.
Anthony Michael Hall turned down the role of Cameron.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Because you know he would have done that impression as well. He'd have kind of gone, no. So Mia Sara, she beat Molly Ringwald. So
she really wanted the role, didn't she? Apparently?
And then, and she was like kind of going, yeah, John said that the part wasn't big enough for me.
Nice.
But she almost...
Direct to speak for, nah.
Yeah, basically. But also Mia Sara almost didn't play Sloane because she was auditioning for Labyrinth at the time.
Oh, was she?
Yeah, she was auditioning to play Sarah in Labyrinth. So, yeah. And it keeps going. So, John Hughes offered Bill Paxton the role of the garage attendant.
Oh, I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he felt the role was too small. I'll come back to the garage attendant in a minute, though.
Oh, okay.
Paul Gleason.
Right.
He was considered for Rooney.
I can also see him as the dad, actually, to be honest.
Oh, yeah. Okay. For those who don't know who Paul Gleason is, he was the... the teacher in Breakfast Club, and he was the asshole in Die Hard.
Yeah. You know,
so, but what they could have done potentially was make it the same character from Breakfast Club, maybe. I mean, it's the maybe. Same high school, isn't it? For God's
yeah,
sake.
So, again, yeah.
And also, Tom Skerritt was considered for Ed Reaney.
Okay.
But just quickly back to the garage attendant.
Yeah.
Have you seen last year they announced they're working on a sort of sequel to Ferris Bueller?
No.
So, yeah, it's called Sam and Victor's Day Off, and apparently it will follow the valets who took the car.
Okay.
So it kind of it's a bit like Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are Dead.
Yeah. You know, so is it going to be set in the 80s?
In the 80s, yeah, yeah. So when they take Ferris's car, Cameron's dad's car,
yeah,
it would follow that adventure and what caused them to put all those miles on the clock.
Interesting.
I think that could be interesting, especially if they splice it in with footage of...
And it's John Hughes writing it?
Oh, come on. But no. I think that's an interesting way to sort of do a sequel-ish without pissing on the original.
That's an interesting idea.
Because
They did a TV show, didn't they?
Did they?
They did, yeah. It, with Jennifer Aniston playing Jeannie.
Oh.
Yeah. Just called Ferris Bueller. With, I can't remember what the guy's name was. Tom Shatler or something like that.
You made that name up.
I haven't, honestly. Maybe. I've had a few to drink. Again, one of those things that just lasted one series. And there's a sequence on YouTube of the Ferris in the TV series cutting... there's a big standee, is that what they're called? Mm-hmm. The big cardboard cutouts of Matthew Broderick cutting his head off with a chainsaw.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, interesting. But I won't be watching that.
No.
No.
Well, I don't think anyone did. That's why it got cancelled after the season. But there we are.
Yeah. Yeah. Ah, okay. Well, there we go. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, then let's go deeper in. And being an odd numbered episode, you get to share your thoughts and shit.
Yeah. Well, okay. So my thoughts, they're very... So 5 million.
Yeah.
Budget.
Yeah.
Which was about the same as Best of the Best, but boy, did they use it better.
Yeah, yeah.
So as
a nice return, though, nearly 71 million, I mean, pretty much.
We've had worse days.
Exactly.
Yeah, I can see why it did so well, because I think John Hughes has this habit of tapping into, you know, what perhaps teenagers of the 80s were feeling. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and like what struck me this time of watching was the undertone of Cameron, how just... desperately unhappy he was.
Yeah, yeah.
And I did read there was a whole treatment of the script where Charlie Sheen's character meant to be one of the people. The mother was showing people around the house, and he's meant to be. But also,
he's the son of the people that's supposed to be that she's supposed to be putting the deal together with, isn't she?
And I think somewhere in another version, he was a childhood friend of Ferris that just went off the rails, and
okay.
And Ferris couldn't save him, and now Ferris feels he's got to do it for Cameron or something.
Okay. But also, going back to the original cut of this, the dad, Charlie Sheen's dad, is in it. He's the guy who drags Rooney's car away.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah. The Voltruck or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. His name's Garth Voltruck or something, isn't it? Yeah.
But the Cameron character is what really fascinated me in this as well, because you got the Ferris who is, you know, the golden boy. Nothing goes wrong for him. Like, even Cameron says that as they're walking around in the press. He's like, no, everything seems to go right for him.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it was just a beautiful piece of writing when him and, what's she called? Sloan. When they're just saying, you know, off to college, what do you want to do? He's like, well, I don't know. What do you want to do? Well, I don't know either. Yeah. When it's about them figuring out who they are. This film, I think it's much deeper than people give it credit for.
Yep.
It's a real exploration into what it is to... Yeah, it's just a day off, but it's actually three people that don't know what the fuck is going on in life. I loved it, Daz. I really had a great time with this. And I think a lesser writer / director would have just made this a teen romp without any of the nuances.
Yeah, I agree. And going back to the thing about that scene in particular when they're all talking... Well, there's that one where Ferris is doing the carnival thing. Mm-hmm. And Sloan and Cameron are talking about the future. And then there's a bit where he's laid out on the wall and Ferris is doing his bit to camera, which is a great
device. Yeah.
Saying about, you know, Sloan's in the year below them, so she's going to be at school still while they go to college and he'll go one way and he'll go the other. And they will probably... It's another one of those things that we've seen in Stand By Me. But they get to a crossroads in your life, don't you? Mm-hmm. Basically, in Stand By Me, they're going from primary school to secondary school. In this, they're going from secondary school to university or college, whatever the system is in the States. And we also see it in things like American Pie too.
Yeah.
Or American Pie where, you know, we're not all going to be together this time next year or yada, yada, yada. And I think that's something that completely passed me by when I've watched it before. And just the emotion that comes out of the film, which I completely missed.
Really
took me by surprise.
Sorry. With that, though, I would like to think that him and Sloane did get married, and also Cameron did marry the first girl that slept with him.
But I hope he didn't get treated like shit.
He probably did.
He probably did.
Because actually, I mean, in this fictional Ferris Bueller 2 that would never happen, you can see those two being married, and you can see him still hanging around because his marriage has gone to shit. So,
unless his father kills him.
What,
for destroying his car? Dark. But,
very dark.
Yeah,
but also something else that struck me this time is the intelligence of the writing, which is, I think, again, a lesser writer might have kind of gone, right, okay, so you got the dad, if you like, ringing up and going, oh yeah, the grandma's died, and then you know, lesser writer would have kind of gone, the dean would have played along with it, going,
okay,
the grandma's died, so then she would go out. But no, there was a second layer, and he's like, oh no, I'm not falling for this.
Just bring the corpse here, and then I'll release.
Yeah, exactly. And then Ferris rings up, and that's when he shits himself.
Yeah.
Lesser writer would have left it at the dean believes that the father's calling. There's a few things like that with the maitre d' as well. Like, no, I don't believe this. And then they reinforce it, and they very cleverly insert a second layer of, they commit to these scams.
Yeah.
And that's what I really like about it.
It's very clever. It's very funny as well. That's a good thing.
That's it, buddy.
But it's not just slapstick. No. It's really funny. Grace and Rooney, they're such a good double act.
Oh, aren't they?
They're so... And she's such a bitch. Look, she works in the school. She fucking hates kids.
Yeah.
finding pencils in her hair, which apparently was from an improvised bit. When she wanted... The hair. Apparently she came, ED, whatever her name is.
And said about the 60s, that she'd be into the 60s.
She's part of an improvisational comedy theatre group. And so she wanted what hair she wanted, blah, 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 blah. And then he just made up on the spot, said, how many pencils do you think can get into your hair? And she just ran with it. Just fucking, it's stupid, but it's really funny.
And it worked, yes. And do you know what, some of the stuff in this is over the top. When you look at the situation... There's no way a dean is going to go that far to prove that a kid is...
No, of course not, of course not.
But do you know what? I don't care. I buy into it. I believe it. Yeah. I believe the situation because...
It's funny.
It's funny.
Really
and
well
it's,
done.
I guess it's the beauty of the writing is it's just over-the-top situations.
Yeah.
But you buy into it because you just love the characters.
Exactly. And in looking into it, a lot of it was improvised. A lot of it was made up on set. There are so many instances of... the script was ridiculously long anyway. It was something stupid, like 140-odd pages, which for a comedy was way over the top. But the first few days of rushes and things that were coming back, the studio were like, well, where's this in the script? They were just making it up as they went along. I've had another idea, let's do this. Nothing to do with the script. And that's how the first cut ended up at 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Which I'd love to see.
Yeah, me too. I'm surprised they haven't released... Well... Obviously, now that Hughes is no longer with us, it's probably not ever going to happen. But yeah, I'd love to see it as well. Because there's a whole subplot with a younger brother and sister.
Yep.
As we said about Charlie Sheen's character, his parents and stuff. And apparently, Ferris is a bit darker in a lot of it. We're talking about nuclear war and stuff, because obviously we had the fear of the nuclear war in the 80s.
But maybe you are better off for it being shorter and snappier. And
I'd like to see more. I'd like to see the original cut. Just as an original cut.
Just to see it.
Just to compare it.
Because there could be an alternate universe where Darren and Matt are talking about Ferris Bueller going, yeah, it's too long.
It's too heavy.
It's too long, man.
Some bits are funny, but...
And it didn't make anything at the box office. Yeah. And if it was, say, an hour and 45, hour and a half, it would have done really well. There's probably, there's an alternate universe.
And other bits, apparently, that were swapped around for previews and things. The parade didn't come at the end. It was earlier on in the film. And then after the first few viewings, it didn't work. And there was a line during that bit where he's singing on the float. Sloane has a line about something about, it's all right for us women. you know, we can find a husband and have a baby if we want. We get out of it that way. For you guys, there's nothing. You have to work. And apparently it went down really badly with test screening audiences.
I can imagine, yeah.
Yeah, so that was got rid of. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see.
And there was a strip club thing?
There was a strip club thing, yeah. Where they obviously ended up on stage with the strippers. Yeah, I'd love to see it. I'd love to see it. But I guess we never
will. I don't
think
that was filmed, though, was it? Apparently they were going to film it, but they ran out of time or something like that.
I know that at one point when they were 9 days over the end of where they were supposed to finish anyway, so 9 days over the shoot, the suits came down from the studio and went, you can go over budget, but you can't go over time.
Right.
So they had to pretty much wrap things up pretty quick.
I can't also decide whether I'd like to have seen Cameron's dad or not.
Oh, that's a good point. He does sound like an absolute dick.
Mm. Mm.
Or maybe just see, you know, the dad arriving, looking into the garage, and then maybe a, Cameron!
I think there was something shot where, when he said, I can see my dad from here, where you actually saw his dad on the pavement.
Oh, right, okay.
And there was something to do with him spotting his car on the streets or, yeah, but anyway.
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, that's a lot, isn't it? It's just, I can't praise this film highly enough, if I'm honest.
Well, that's good. It's good. I like it. Going back to John Hughes, as we said before, when we did Breakfast Club, I didn't like Breakfast Club that much the first time I saw it. And then when we did it for the podcast, I actually fell in love with it. But I do think that, we won't talk too much about Weird Science.
No.
but as a progression, I think, we haven't done St. Elmo's yet, obviously. But I think this is the best film up to this point of his. It's the one that, for me, hits all the right, ticks all the right boxes and hits all the right marks.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's just because it hit me at a time when this was probably one of the first films I obtained on VHS.
Right, okay.
In my youth, let's put it that way. But I honestly think it just, for me, it ticks all the right boxes. It ticked them then. And it ticks them now. And it's I think it's a real seminal, important movie for me personally, for my generation, for my year group at school. I mean, Ferris could so easily be just an annoying little twat. In the hands of the wrong actor, you could hate him. He's smug. He's over the top. He's confident. All the things I'd normally hate in a character.
But also, that's not normally a character that Matthew Broderick plays.
No, exactly, exactly. But he's so charismatic as Ferris.
Mm.
He's almost like this little... I thought when I was watching it again today, he reminds me a lot of Puck from Midsummer Night's Dream.
Yes,
he's sort of a puppet master. He's this imp that's controlling everything.
It's the little stuff when he's in bed at the beginning.
It's genius.
And he's like, oh, you're ringy-ding-ding and stuff like that.
And you're blanky. Yeah.
When he's literally acting like a little child, isn't he? He's like, he's fucking brilliant.
He's
there.
Absolute genius. Yeah, I love it. And the parents are great.
Ringy-ding-ding.
It's just too funny.
And didn't they get married, the parents?
They
real
did,
life?
And they had two kids of their own.
Right.
Not together anymore, but yeah, these things happen.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Not that they're not together, no, but no. Yeah. They played the parents and then...
But he's just... I think
I don't blame him. The mum was fit.
Yeah, she was. Beautiful hair. But yeah, like I said, in the hands of the wrong actor, he could be so fucking annoying because he's too confident. But he has that sort of cheeky charm. And I love the stuff to camera as a device. It was so new at the time. And it doesn't happen that much now.
I think he'd been doing a play as well where he was addressing
the blues.
He was addressing the audience a lot. Yeah. And he was like, oh, really, again? But it just works.
Yeah. Yeah. And him and Alan Ruck.
Yeah. Yeah.
Together. Yeah. Because Broderick put forward Alan Ruck for the part of camera.
And that's great, isn't it? Because how good is he?
Yeah. Oh, he's superb. Absolutely superb.
Hey, it's Mr. Peterson here.
But he has that awkwardness, that sort of lumbering, not stupidity, but it's a real character, all just sewn into what you can see the pain in his face, the anguish.
29, though, when he filmed it.
Yeah.
It's his face that when he's ringing the school, and it's the way he talks, like, hey, you're an asshole.
Well, apparently that was an impression of Matthew Broderick's impression of the director of Biloxi Blues.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah, every time the director used to leave the room, because apparently he was really intense or angry or whatever, Broderick would do an impression of him to try and make the rest of the guys laugh. So just off the cuff, to try and make Broderick laugh, he did an impression of his impression.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I think that's brilliant.
Because we've all heard those things, haven't we, in theatre, when we know something that we say on stage is going to fuck over the other actor.
Oh, yeah. Just going back to that again, there's a great, honestly, there's a great documentary on YouTube, Inside Story. It's a series of documentaries they did on American TV. And I've got the box set of things like Jaws and Silence of the Lambs. But the whole episode is on YouTube for this. And apparently during one of the last performances of Biloxi Blues, there's a bit where Broderick is talking to the audience and Alan Rock is asleep behind him. And he wrote down on a piece of paper and nudged him whilst he was talking to the audience. So he looked over and just went, they offered me Ferris.
And didn't he put a figure on there as well, like how much money?
Oh, I don't know about that.
Yeah, apparently he put the money on there as well.
Nice. But yeah, they all work so well together.
They really do. Yeah. They really do. I mean, that's Trinity, those three. Because I think it needs Sloane. It really needs Sloane in there because she brings this balance and she's brilliant.
She's mature, way beyond her years.
She was 18 when she filmed it? Yeah,
because she looks older, not being rude, but she does. She looks like a more mature sort of mid-20s woman. Oh, gosh, she's beautiful.
I didn't notice, Darren. I mean, I was looking at her abilities. Her ability.
Yeah, I was looking at her abilities in the swimming pool as well. Just like Cameron did.
Yes, the dirty pervert. It was even that confession, though. Go. When they were chatting, she was like, I thought you were catatonic. Were you looking at me? He's like, yeah. Such a nice... I mean,
exactly.
I'll be
God,
honest.
Can you imagine that nowadays? Oh, my God, you're...
I will tell
objectifying me, you bastard.
Little secret.
Go on.
I've had a real struggle trying to find lowlights in this film.
Do you want to know my secret?
Mm-hmm.
I have none.
There we go. Phew.
Yeah, I'm glad about that. I honestly sat down and thought, what is there that is a low light in this film?
I couldn't find anything.
It's not, I mean, it's okay, it's 13 minutes too long, but that's not a low light. It's a bit silly in places, but nothing that detracts from the actual film itself. It's all appropriate.
I think the one thing that I kind of went, I think they missed a trick here, was when Ferris was running, they probably should have brought back Yellow with all, because it's got that hectic energy about it. But then the original music they used during that was really good.
Terrific, And another quick story about it. He dislocated his kneecap, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it was supposed to be a big dance as well at the street parade, but he couldn't do it because he fucked his knee.
Yeah, but you know, the street parade works, doesn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. Didn't need it. Doesn't need it. I think sometimes, definitely, less is more.
Well, yeah, as opposed to 2.5 hours, an hour 43, so...
Yeah, yeah. Well, anyway, okay, so I'm guessing we have no lowlights this week.
No, I'd literally...
So that's a first after 79 episodes. Let's have our highlights then, shall we?
My first one is... Hats off, John Hughes, the writing. The writing, I think, is brilliant.
Yep.
Yes, you said there's a lot of improvisation and stuff goes in there, but it's got to have that foundation as well. And John Hughes has got this innate ability of making these characters just pop off. In fact, I think he's been quoted before as saying, like, I never think of the story, the beginning, the end, whatever else. I think of the characters. And that really fucking shows here. So the writing, it's great. It's not just what could have been a throwaway comedy.
Yeah.
It's an intelligent comedy. And it's a comedy that works on many levels for different people. Some people might kind of go, oh, yeah, it's about a guy taking a day off school, whatever else.
Is how I thought of it when I was a teenager.
And some people will look at it and kind of go, fuck, man, this guy's in trouble. But then his friend's trying to save him from just keep being in this dark, dark place. And, you know, and there's so many different things going on. So, yeah, my first highlight is the writing.
And again, as we had with Weird Science, it was written in next to no time. Apparently the director of Pretty in Pink was banging on at John Hughes about, come on, we need to edit this down. I need to start filming, blah, 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 blah. And came over to his house on a Thursday. Said, right, we're going to fucking do the rewrites now. Get it sorted. Fell asleep. John Hughes fucked off upstairs and wrote the first 40, 50 pages of Ferris Bueller's. Oh, yeah. So on the Thursday... it was discussed with the studio. It was sold. The idea was sold, and then he wrote it overnight Thursday and Friday. Delivered the script on the Monday, and it was greenlit on the Tuesday.
Fucking hell!
Yeah, It's mad.
So something that didn't exist the entire week before.
Yeah, exactly. But he did that with, like we said, with Rocky. Weird Science.
Yeah.
Who?
Rocky.
Rocky.
That was written over a weekend.
Was it?
Apparently so.
It shows.
What, the original Rocky? Are you serious? Whoa.
Whoa. But yes, I mean, that's quite impressive. So that's your first highlight.
Yes. Nice. I mean, the writing I love. Yeah. I do love John Hughes.
For me, my first highlight, this is the epitome of nothing is impossible. We bang on about it all the time. 80s,
the 80s, nothing is impossible in the 80s,
It's heartwarming, it's fun, it's silly, but it's not stupid. It's that thing about friendships. As I said before, it's a seminal movie for people of my/our age. And I said, it hit me at the right time. I probably watched this, maybe not as much as you watch Back to the Future, but I did watch it very, very often and loved it.
Well, that means I'm fucked for the quiz, right?
Well, no, because I haven't watched it for years. Probably not since me and Cez, maybe once since me and Cez have been together.
Has your wife been stopping you watching Ferris Bueller?
Maybe,
right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Boom, boom. I don't think we've watched it since we've been together. We might have done. But
did she watch it this time with you?
Nope.
Right.
Nope. So watching it again, I saw so many different emotions from it this time. And that was a real nice surprise.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think it's that epitome of nothing, you know, getting involved in a street carnival, pinching a car and having a great day, just spending time with your friends in a swimming pool, being daft. It's just...
Dressing up,
enjoying life.
In all your clothes, though. Like
exactly.
Every outfit is different at the beginning because he's just fucking about.
The mannequin in the bed and the trophy controlling the door and the stereo. And stuff. It's just, it's just fantastic.
Also, that's very reminiscent of, if you grew up in the UK, there was a comic called The Beano.
Yes.
And a character in The Beano called Roger the Dodger.
Roger the Dodger.
Who would just try and find ways of getting out of everything, so he would... build a book fort in his bed so you could put the covers on top and sleep underneath so people would think you weren't there and things like that. So that, for me, is very reminiscent of that sort of stuff.
I just love it. So that was my first highlight.
Well, my second highlight, it kind of bleeds on from the writing, which is, I think John Hughes would be happy to hear this, that it's come across. The characters, they are really, really well put together characters because there's no characters that are really... underwritten here. They are what they need to be.
So well formed.
Mm. I mean, they're kind of perfect. Cameron, I love Alan as Cameron. He's absolutely brilliant. Sloane, Ferris, they all work at that Trinity, but even small things like the parents work really well together. And, you know, I know he went, he had a lot of controversy later in his career, but...
Did he do anything naughty?
Yes, he did. I mean, he was found with pictures of children, whatever. Oh. But
that's another one.
But his performance in this... It seems that
what we had in the 70s with DJs, they had in the 80s with actors.
You know, and of course it goes through your mind when you're watching this.
Yeah,
you know,
of
he's creeping into a child's house to try and catch him.
Yeah. But, childish.
But,
yeah.
But, you know, that aside, his performance in this film, he's...
Oh, superb.
Really good.
Very, very
feel
funny.
Really bad saying that, but he's really good in this. But
well, I guess we have to say as well, he was acquitted. He's on the register.
Mm.
He didn't actually, as far as we know, do anything as such. Just things about images and things, wasn't it?
So, yes.
But we won't get bogged down in that.
But also, then you look at, the secretary, Grace.
Oh, she's super.
It's great.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just little things. Like every character is, it just seems like they're right.
Hmm.
I mean, yeah, that's it. I mean, the characters in this are just brilliant and they're played brilliantly by the people that are cast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't argue with that. And that links into my second highlight, which is Cameron.
Right.
I think this time out, I've seen something that, I'd never saw it before. He's superb. It's beautifully written. Beautifully acted. It's really touching. And I hate the fucking word. You know I hate the word. But he really does go on a journey. And I know it's in one day. Yeah. But, you know, the fact you got Ferris at the start saying, I want to give him the best day ever. And I really do believe he gets it. There's this real melancholy to him and this sort of confusion and anger and angst and this teenage stuff built up inside him the moment when they're in the museum and you've got the cover of the Morrissey song, mm-hmm. and he's just staring at the Seurat painting.
Yeah, and
I just
it zooms right in.
Yeah, it blew me away today, and I don't know why. It's just beautiful, and he makes up his mind. He's gonna stand up to his father. He's been neglected all his fucking life. Mm. By all accounts, his mum and dad fucking hate each other. His dad's just obsessed with his fucking car. But he really grows as a character. There's a real development. And it's really emotional. And I'd never got that before. And that for me today was a real, real highlight. And I teared up. It was brilliant.
I'll have to back you up on that as well. I think in the hands of a lesser actor, as you say, the melancholy, it could have been too much. But yeah. There was always that ray of sunshine that wanted to come out of him.
Yeah.
But the Ferris kind of drags out, kicking and screaming.
And it's just brilliant when Ferris thinks he's drowned in the pool and he says, "You're my hero."
But yeah, the other bit as well is when he says, you know, when Ferris gets up, he's like, "I've got to do something here." When he gets up on the parade, he's like, "And this is for my friend who thinks that nothing good has happened today."
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's superb. That's a real, it blew me away today. And I'd never got that before. So good. Maybe it's my age talking. I don't know. But it really, really affected me today. And I loved it.
Fantastic.
Well, there we go. That's our highs and lows.
What lows?
Well, yeah, apparently that's our... I mean, another high easily could be the fucking music.
Oh, here we go.
It's just...
Bom, bom.
It's just, wow, what a fucking soundtrack. I mean, we've got Ira Newborn back again, who was responsible for things like, the other John Hughes films, basically. But the original stuff in there, I mean, you've got, it's this sort of, when the mum and dad are approaching the door handle of his bedroom, you've got it's sort of Jaws-esque.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, John Williams. But then you've just got John Williams with Star Wars
theme. Oh my God. When that happened, I was like, I thought, no, they're not. Oh, they are.
They are.
Oh, they are.
They absolutely are. So the original score is brilliant. A lot of it is just sort of stings and sort of swipes. But it's really good. It's just appropriate. And I said that the running back to the house at the end is very well scored. But then you get the soundtrack song.
Wow.
I mean, I could be here for hours talking.
Because didn't they change the museum song? Like, they did test screenings and it wasn't working. Then they changed it to... Yeah. What was the museum song?
The one in the film is a cover of Morrissey's song.
Yes.
Please, please, please let me get what I want. But there's two songs performed by Dream Academy. That's one of them. And The Edge of Forever is in there as well, which I'm not familiar with. But again, you do get a lot of little snippets. Like we did in Best of the Best,
mm-hmm.
but they're more appropriate. And when you need the bigger songs, you get the bigger songs. Like in the museum, you got the Dream Academy song. But then you've got Dankeschön by Wayne Newton in the parade. And that pops up all the way through the film as well. She sings it at the end when she's leaving the police station. Rooney singing it when he's walking around the garden trying to get into the house.
This one, when they did this aerial shot of Chicago and there was a tune playing, it was cracking. I was like, oh, that's brilliant. I love this.
I can't remember offhand. But, I mean, you've got Big Audio Dynamite in there. The Flower Pot Men are in there. As I said, two songs by Dream Academy. Theme tune from I Dream of Jeannie.
See, I was getting confused. I was like, is that I Dream of Jeannie or Bewitched? Because they're very similar,
exactly.
Aren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
It's that ilk of television.
Yeah. March of the Swivelheads from The Beat, who we've seen. Love Missile F-111 from Six Six Sputnik. And obviously, boom, boom.
You can't not finish it. But I mean, clearly the best song in there is from, you know.
The Beatles?
No, John Williams.
Is that a song?
Well, it's all right. Best bit of music. All right, best bit of music.
Okay.
But yeah. then you know the song Star Wars.
The song. You've got a bit of Boccherini in there and Go Down Moses, which I think was Paul Robeson. Someone I'm sure will correct me if I'm wrong. Let my people go. But of course the biggie was, as I said, Twist and Shout.
Yeah.
From the Beatles.
Apparently McCartney wasn't happy about it.
Happy about the brass that they added.
Yeah. And I think Hughes was devastated that he'd upset
the Beatles. Yeah. But it's so difficult to get the Beatles to agree to one of their songs being used in the film. I think it's absolutely brilliant in this.
I thought Chubby Checker did Twist and Shout.
Right, I think it's time for a break.
All right, brilliant. Let's have a little break. And then have you got a little way of getting into the quiz this week?
Maybe.
Go on.
A quiz a day helps you work, rest and play.
And we're back. Part three of Darren and Matt's 80s Adventure, where we are looking at... That's all we need to say, really.
Yes, it is. And regular listeners will know that we have a quiz coming up right now.
Yes, we do.
So without any further ado, it's time for the quiz.
Eyes down for a full house.
Right, so yes, being an odd-numbered episode, you get to go first.
Mm-hmm. So the stakes on this are you have won, out of this block of 10, you've won 5.
There's been 8 quizzes so far.
Mm-hmm.
I've won 5. You've fought back over the last 3 weeks.
And I've won 3 in a row.
3 in a row. Will that continue tonight?
I mean, if it does, great. You know, I know there's people out there rooting for me. There is Save Matt banners all over Plymouth.
I did see Plymouth Argyle's match yesterday.
Yep.
Save Matt.
There was a local newspaper. Yes.
Local lad.
Local 40-year-old fights back in quiz.
Local what?
40-odd-year-old. Okay. Yeah. You're the one that's 50 next year, by the way. May I remind you that?
Fuck you. How dare you?
Also, listen, I will say, I got to spend New Year with Darren, and it was... Honestly, one of the best moments of my life was at 1 minute past midnight. I said to Darren, "You're 50 next year."
That's because you're a cheap bitch.
Yep.
That's a cheap shot, you bastard.
All right. Speaking of cheap shots then, right, let's get question one out for you, Darren.
Okay then.
Question number one for you. How much is a new kidney?
Oh, that's a good one. $50,000.
Yes.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. 50 okay. G for a new kidney.
Wow, that rang a little bell somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, they're collecting in the Pepsi can.
Yes. Nice. No, plugging anything there at all. Okay, question one for you.
Yes.
What is the name of the school nurse?
I think I've got it. It's not written. Right. It's not on my screen, so it's not one of my questions. Florence, and I want to say Sparrow.
So is that your final answer?
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. That's another one of those things that made me laugh. Like, Florence Nightingale.
It. I didn't know if I was going to get the second one right. I was like,
Nice. Nice. Right.
All right. You're going to know this, I think, potentially.
Am I?
But let's get it out of the way.
Okay.
When they're looking out the window, how tall is the building?
Oh, no, I don't, actually.
It's mentioned twice in the scene.
Yeah. Fuck, I didn't listen to that. 1,000 feet, no idea.
1,353 feet.
Ooh, okay. 2-1 to you at the moment. Question two for you. What's the name of the Sausage King of Chicago?
Oh, fuck. I can do this because it is actually all on right. my list. And I knew this, fucking knew this earlier. It's in there somewhere, Daz.
Is it?
It's in there somewhere.
5, 4.
Bob Master. Is it Al something? Al? Oh, fucking hell. I knew this. I absolutely knew this earlier. But no, I'll have to give it up. Al something.
Okay. Abe Foreman.
Yeah. That's one of those that you know.
Ooh, yeah.
And it's not.
Okay. After 2 questions, that's 2 points each.
Yeah. Who does Ferris pretend to be?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've got Abe Froman. Did I just mistype?
Maybe I just missaid. Yeah, Abe Froman. Yeah,
right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay then. So.
Yeah.
Do I go harsh? No. Yes.
Bring it on, bitch.
Well, this isn't particularly harsh. All right. So when the dean goes into the pizza place, he thinks he sees Ferris. By which arcade game does he think he finds Ferris?
Oh my god! Oh, that is harsh.
You know, there's the two girls playing on the arcade game. May I direct you back to one of our quizzes where you actually did ask me an arcade question?
I have absolutely no idea. So this is going to be a pure guess now.
If you get the pure guess, I'll be surprised.
Frog it. No idea.
Karate Champ.
Okay. Whoa. This could be it for you, Mr. Matthew. It's 3-2 at the moment. Last question then.
Mm-hmm.
What's the make?
Don't know. I literally don't know makes of cars.
Of Mr. Rooney's antacids.
Oh, I thought you were going to say a car. I was like, yeah, I've got no ideas.
Nope.
Mr. Rooney's antacids, I believe.
Yes.
I think I've won this. I think.
Okay.
It's a bit like that moment Who Wants to Be a Millionaire where like you know, all right, I'm phoning a friend, but I don't need to because I think I've won this. Unless I'm really overconfident. I think it's Tums.
Is that your final answer? Yeah. Tum, 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 tum.
Is it right. Tums?
Yes. Hey, there we go.
Fucking hell.
Motherfucker.
If you'd have said cars, I'd been fucked. I have no idea.
Oh, I meant the car. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Tums. Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go. 4-2. Oh, my word. Next week is fucking essential then, isn't it?
Can I just say to our listeners, we have not rigged this whatsoever.
Absolutely not. There's no point. What would
be the exactly. point? No, exactly. We absolutely want to screw each other over every week.
I'll be honest, I'm fucking furious that you just won this week. For a film you've seen twice and didn't like before. God damn it.
Yeah, but I really pay attention.
Fucking hell. No, yeah, no. Well, congratulations.
Thank you, buddy. Would you like to hear some alternate questions?
No, show them your ass. No, go on.
What test is Ferris meant to take?
European socialism.
Oh, you'd have got that, yeah.
Yeah, motherfucker.
Who is called just before Bueller in the register?
Adamowski or something like that.
Anderson,
okay.
Where is Ferris meant to have passed out?
30-something flavours. I can't remember. 31 flavours.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, good. Who does Ferris pretend to be? Where are they having lunch?
Chez Louis. That was one of mine.
Yeah. Well, actually, it looks like that. But when you look into it, it's actually Chez Qui, right? So it's in shaky, like it's in...
Is it?
Yeah, apparently so.
Okay.
So it's a little riff on that. But yeah, I would have said Chez Louis and I would have accepted that because it looks like that, doesn't it? I mean, I've got some really awful ones.
Go on.
All right. So what teacher is expecting Jeannie?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. That's a horrible one. I would never have used it. But it's Mr. Hagel. I
love the fact that she calls her a little asshole.
Yes. What is Ferris's dad reading in the cab?
Oh, a real estate monthly. No idea.
The Chicago Sun-Times.
Okay.
How much is it to park for 30 minutes or less?
$5?
$3.50.
Okay.
And then this is where I had to do my studying.
Right.
Fucking hell. The miles on the car. I was like, he's going to fucking ask me about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, right. Okay. So, what mileage was on the car when they left?
These are all my questions as well, but I'm not looking. Mm-hmm. I think it's 124, something like that.
Close. 126.
Right.
This is one of the questions I think you'd appreciate. What's the stripping nurse called?
Oh, do you get her name?
It's got a badge on.
Oh, no, I didn't notice.
Fran.
I was too busy looking at other things.
Oh, not her name badge.
Yeah.
What's the baseball field?
Oh, the... I can't remember.
Wrigley.
I knew it started with a W.
A couple more. What mortuary is it meant to have been, they called?
No idea.
The the Coghlan Brothers Mortuary. And what was the car park called?
EZ Park or something like that, or First EZ Park OK or something. Or...
Close, yeah. A1 EZ OK Park.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Right. My alternatives. What was showing at the United Artists Cinema in Chicago?
Was it a Western? No, I don't know.
Godzilla 85 and Teen Wolf.
Of course it was, because then he starred in Godzilla.
What's the temperature at O'Hare?
73.
How many sick days had he officially had off?
Nine.
And what was the make of the hi-fi in his bedroom?
Con something? It was... I can see it. No.
Carver. What's the second rule of faking out your parents?
Clammy hands?
Moan and wail.
Oh, okay.
Who's the third person called on the register?
Anderson?
Adamowski.
Adamowski, right, okay. So we both did a register question.
What's Adamley's first name?
It's played by Kirsty Swanson.
It is, yeah.
Dude. Christine?
Simone.
Yeah, same thing.
How long did Cameron's dad spend restoring the Ferrari?
3 years.
And what make of Ferrari was it, or what model?
It was a... I did learn that it was a 1961 250 GT.
California, yeah.
Yeah.
How many restaurants are in the downtown area?
I don't know. How many restaurants are in the...
Damn it! 4,000. 4,000 restaurants in the downtown area, and we have to pick the same one.
Oh, right, there. Okay.
What make of watch does Sloan have?
Do you know what? I saw that come up on screen. I went, he wouldn't. I don't know.
Cartier. And what time was it on the watch?
5 to 6.
Yeah. What's the radio station mentioned at the start of the film?
WKLM?
WLS.
All right, okay.
Ferris passed out where? What was Ferris's test on? Who's the sausage king? And what's the name of Cameron's dad?
Does it begin with the G?
Does it?
I don't know.
Morris.
Goris, yeah. Goris the dad.
Well, there we go.
That could have gone either way, actually,
yeah,
couldn't it?
But you'd say that. I think, yeah, I think you did your research this week,
I
didn't you, darling?
Didn't I?
You boned it, didn't you, darling?
Wow, 4 weeks in a row, I've never had that.
Wow, 5-4 going into... Oh, we could be in big trouble next week if you win. I'm ashamed. But anyway, there we go. That's the quiz.
That's a shame I feel every week. So
apart from the last four.
Yeah, apart from the last four.
Nice.
I've slept very well the last 4 weeks.
Well, there we go. I guess that's last orders at the bar.
Last orders at the bar, please. Last orders at the bar.
Nice. Next week's going to be exciting. Does that mean we have to do two lots of quizzes next week?
Yeah.
Shit. Okay. Right. Well, fair enough. That's what we have to do. Anyway, at this point, we sum up the film and give a score. So away you go, dude.
Okay, dude. Righteous dude, in fact.
Righteous dude. Little prick.
I mean, look, if you asked me last week, it would have been a 6 out of 10 for me. Because that's I think that was my initial impression of it. I came to it late. I didn't grow up with this film. I probably watched it when I was in my 20s. And I thought, yeah, it's fine. But I'd had that. I had that thing where people had gone, Ferris Bueller, it's fucking amazing. Blah, 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 blah. And then you kind of feel a bit let down because you're expecting more.
Yeah.
But then, you're expecting something else. But going into it this time, I thought, let's just see it for what it is. And I couldn't believe how much I enjoyed it this time. Like significantly more than the last time I watched it, which probably was 20 years ago.
Right.
So, yeah, with that in mind, Daz, I'm not going to beat about the bush. I fucking adored this film. And I the fact that neither of us could find any faults with it.
Mm-hmm.
When I was heading into tonight, I thought it's going to be hitting around an 8 or a 9. But let's look at the evidence.
Mm.
There is no faults with this film. And if you can't find a fault with a film...
Then what can you take any points off for?
Exactly. And I love this film. And will I go back and watch it? Yes, I will.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when we do a film, I look at it and go, oh, shit, I've got to watch that again.
Yeah.
I was excited. I was awesome. Excited to come back and watch this again. So for that reason, Ferris Bueller's Day Off gets a 10
Woo-hoo!
From me.
That's fucking fantastic. Yeah, I'm not going to argue with that to sum up. I mean, we haven't even talked really about Jeannie as a character.
No.
She's fucking awesome. And by all accounts, there was lots of tension on set with improvisations and things. Then being encouraged by John Hughes and then not wanted by John Hughes. He was giving Matthew Broderick micro notes about how to hold his face. And Broderick went, fuck off, basically. He went, right, I won't give you any notes. And then didn't give him any notes for a couple of scenes. He went, just give me some fucking notes.
And wasn't the thing about that there was a chemistry problem like after their...
In the costumes.
After the costumes.
Yeah, they went straight on the costumes and did a little bit of filming of them walking down the street. And apparently the studio went, there's no chemistry. What the fuck are we going to do?
It was a costume.
It's a costume.
Yeah, because Matthew Broderick walked in and went, what are you guys all upset about? Yeah. It was a costume test. Fuck him.
And then it was all forgotten and it was all good. Oh, God. I mean, it makes Chicago look fantastic.
I really want to visit Chicago.
Yeah, me too. It's really well filmed. It's like a travelogue for the city. Apparently it was a love story for his adopted city, Chicago. And it shows. It's fantastic. The characters are great. You really love them. It's funny without being over the top silly. And as I say, I think everything just came together. It's perfect. It's lightning in a bottle. I'm exactly the same as you. It's a 10 out of 10 from me. It can't be anything else.
No. Oh, well, that's perfect, Az.
Yeah.
Going in tonight, genuinely, I didn't think... I'd sat on a 9, but then the more we talked about it, I went, actually, I can't see anything.
I was thinking
wrong.
About it earlier when I was writing up my notes. What is wrong with the film? And I can't think of anything.
And I was even trying to be pernickety about stuff. I was like, and my earlier comment about, well, maybe they could have used, yellow when they were doing the running.
It's nothing.
No, it's not. Because actually, the music they used was perfect.
Exactly. Yeah.
So yeah. There we go. That's,
wow. I'm so pleased you've had this epiphany. If you like. Yeah. It's great. It's the same as mine with The Breakfast Club. I'm so pleased.
Everyone's a winner in that respect, isn't it? I mean, I get to then rewatch Ferris because I fucking love Ferris now.
Yeah. Good.
Also, I mean, one of the notes I've written I hadn't shared with you is you can just see the seeds of Home Alone. In this.
Yes. Yeah, well, what am I?
That whole when he's trying to break in and stuff like that.
Written down in one of my side notes, he really loves dog flaps or cat flaps.
Yeah.
He?
But and it's that whole him getting his shoe caught and him ending up really fucked up. You can
breaking
sort of
see house.
The seeds of like Marvin Harry.
Yes. Yeah, 100%.
And you can imagine young Kevin McAllister being.
We couldn't do the high kick, but.
But you can imagine him being a young Ferris Bueller. He's got that cocky sort of.
Yeah.
That confident attitude. Yeah. So you can see the seeds of Home Alone like scattered 100%. All throughout this.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so happy.
Too, buddy. I'm really happy to have watched it. I'm really glad we did this.
Nice. Well, guys, let us know what... Guys, come on, guys.
Yeah, come on, guys. Let us know.
You righteous dudes.
Hey, this is Mr. Thompson. Oh, no, Peterson. Peterson, not Thompson. You, sir, are an asshole.
Yes, let us know what you think of the film. Do you like this film? Have you seen this film? Do you hate this film? I can't believe you would. Yeah, get in touch. It's always nice to hear from you. As Matt said, we heard from Mrs. Snatch, not Miss Bush. earlier. And a big shout out to all our friends as well that listen. Danny, apparently, is a listener. Yeah, nice to hear from you. And just get in touch. Let us know what films you want us to look at. Let us know what drinks you want us to drink.
And we do have some, I promise you, we keep saying this, but we have some exciting stuff coming up.
Very exciting. Stick with us. You might actually be able to watch us at some point in the future.
Dirty.
But that is in the future.
Would you like to know the tagline for next week's film?
I'm scared now because of the quiz, but go on.
All right. The tagline for next week's film, episode 80.
Yeah. Ooh.
Episode 80.
Yeah, already.
Oh, that means Prosecco, right? Taglines for next week's film is, time to rocket from the Delta to the DMZ.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you know what that is, great. If you don't know what that is, have a look at our Facebook page throughout the week and you will see the trailer for said film.
Uh-huh.
I'm quite excited about watching this because, again, this is a film that I thought, it's all right. But I know it's going to... affect me a lot more now.
I hope so. Yeah.
I think it will. Yeah. I really think it will.
Yeah. Excellent.
But you don't know what it is.
Or do
but
I?
But you do.
Brilliant. Well, listen, I guess that's kind of our look at Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah.
One of maybe two films that they've got a 20 out of 20 for us.
Big.
Big.
Is that it so far?
I don't know. We'll have to have a look.
Yeah.
But yeah, one of a very, very... It's an elite club of... It's in an elite club of films. Easy for me to say. Which has
it's
got
in
20
the 10-star film club.
It is in the 10-star film club.
Yeah.
So, as Daz says, get in touch. We'd love to hear from you. But then, until next week, I suppose. Anything else, Daz?
Oh, go piss up a flagpole.
All right. Cheese whip something. What was that about? He did that cheese.
I just made up a complete line about...
Something about
cheese in the wind.
Cheese in the wind. So, if your dick is cheese in the wind, until next week, I've been Matt.
And I am Darren.
Cheersy! So, Darren now has this week three steps to get from last week's film, which is...
Best of the best.
Sorry, hang on. Darren has three steps to get to this week's film. Fuck. No, not again!
That's the play out.
Right, Darren has three steps to get from last week's film.
You can't do that!
Okay. From the top. Mm-hmm. Right.